He said, you can be the daughter of Abraham. Then he says, likewise, ye husbands. It's always amazing how the husband always gets one verse, and when he talks about the wife, she gets about five or six verses. Oh, that distresses a lot of people, but I tell you one thing, the Lord's made it plain in the Bible, it wasn't Adam that got deceived in that garden in that terrible, tragic incident many centuries ago. It was Eve that the devil deceived. He didn't deceive that man. The Bible said Eve was deceived, and Adam just went along with his wife. He just went along with it. But it was Eve that brought us into all this mess we're in today. So the Lord gets around to that weaker vessel and gives all of this discretionary exhortation and counsel from the Lord to the weaker vessel, because that's where the trouble all started. So he said, now, you husbands, you dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now there's where the family breakdown begins, right there, when parents' prayers are not answered because of their illicit behavior toward one another after the manner of holiness that God has ordered in this Bible. And it didn't just start in the New Testament, it started back in the Garden of Eden. You read in Genesis 3, where God put the curse on Adam and on Eve and on the serpent. And he told Eve plainly that because of your sin, your husband's going to rule over you. And he looked at Adam, he said, you're going to bring forth your bread out of the ground with sorrow and by the sweat of your face all the days of your life. Into the serpent you're going to crawl on your belly, and dust is going to be your meat because of this transgression. Now that curse has never been lifted. And we try and we see in all this ERA, Equal Rights Amendment, and all these pushes by these little sassy cats, these little rebels, and these old rebellious women is the one that's behind it all. God have mercy. You don't see men out here demonstrating for all this mess. It's a bunch of old rebellious women. They don't believe the Bible. They don't like it the way God's made it. And the only way out is to just go ahead and submit to God's manner of behavior in a personal and in a family behavior. When you marry, you lose your personal freedom to a great extent. When you take the vow to be married, you're not free or at liberty to do as you please anymore. You sign an agreement that you're going to share the grace of life together. And I remember that vow really, I mean, just like it was last night, that I'll stick with my wife in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, so help me God. It's amazing how people can break them vows and don't think nothing about it. And when you break that vow, you're in a scrape. And your children reaps that terrible rebellion against the laws of God because we don't work things out and get back to the altar and get things straightened out like we started off. God can heal those old hearts that have been ruptured and the love has leaked out for one another. God can put that love back in there. You don't have to throw down the marriage vow and stomp it as being something unholy and rejected and deny that you took it and say I didn't mean it and all that kind of mess, because God don't have any use for that kind of doings. When we take the vow, then we are, as the Bible said, we become one flesh. And the Bible tells us plainly that we're not two anymore. We're not twain, but we're one flesh. And I'll tell you, then we have a responsibility not to please ourselves, but the Bible says to please the wife and to please the husband. And then when the children comes, that takes on another. Boy, you talk about a dimension. That opens up a new dimension that you've never had before. You don't understand it. And the older you get, you look back when you were really very young and had your first children, you wonder how in the world you ever got them by as well as you did. Being so ignorant and foolish and sometimes undisciplined by the Word of God, you read some old book and listened to some old wise fable or some old chimney corner scripture and took all of that mess instead of disciplining our families by the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells us plainly there is a performance on the part of a young man and young woman when they're married then to have a lifestyle that must be submitted to God's Word for us to have God's blessings upon that family life and upon our children that are going to be the result of that marriage. Oh, there's some that don't have any children, but usually most everybody that marries and stays together for any length of time have children. And the Bible tells us plainly that those children then are our responsibility. God gives us time for our honeymoons and all of that. When they're over with, the children comes along, then our responsibility is to bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, that's way back in the Old Testament, one of the greatest scriptures on the family affair there is. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 5. God said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. What a responsibility! Our Lord, and you take people enter into that great state of matrimony. They sign up to be husband and wife with no teaching, no counseling, no understanding of what life and what marriage and what rearing children and what living together, giving up your personal freedom to have a freedom that you're sharing with someone else. It's a different lifestyle. And it's like when we come to the Lord, we're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. And that's the way it is when you marry. You're not your own anymore. You can't do as you please anymore. You sign an obligation to become responsible to have the smallest unit of world government under your control. And what a responsibility. And it's no wonder that God gets fed up with a lot of families. I tell some people they go to a carnival, to go to a sideshow to see all of these freaks, you know, they have in there. The bearded woman tried a jar, now she's a famous movie star, Burma Shave. They got a woman in there that grows a beard. And then the next thing you know, they say, come over here, sideshow. Hurry, hurry, one and all, you know. You go there, we got a two-headed calf. And you go in there and you see a calf that was a freak, born with two heads. Well, I tell folks, you don't have to go in there to see no two-headed monstrosity or deformity. You can go in most homes and see that. There's two heads. The wife is trying to be the head when she's supposed to be another part. The Bible said the man's the head. And boy, that's a two-headed thing. You get in there and she's trying to be the head too. Now, you really have got a sideshow. It's worth 50 cents anybody's money to listen in on one of those controversies between two heads. Both of them's trying to be the head. I wish there's only one body, so which way you going? Well, you got to have that determined by God's way. And the Bible said to parents, get this word in your heart, my word, the word of God, and then you start teaching it diligently to your children. Well, it's not very long after you're married, usually before you have children. So your quest for knowledge of God's Word and the discipline of the Lord that's in the Word of God. And this Bible is not just a book telling you to go to heaven. It's a book that gives you an insight to a lifestyle that you can have a little bit of heaven right here on this earth if you'll do what God says to do and have a discipline, a regimentation, a government in your home that is symbolic of what the government of God is all about. And that is that the Lord wants righteousness to reign as the waters cover the sea. And he wants our house and our home to be a citadel A holy of holies, a refuge that we can get away from the storms of life and from the old material groveling side of life, escape it and get away in a sanctuary, a holy of holies, where we can have peace and joy and love and faith and all of that unity in our effort that we're all together. Praise God, we're doing the same thing. We're all striving to have that unity, that when one does it, we're all behind it. Praise God, instead of pulling four or five different ways. All right, the Bible tells us plainly in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We ought to take a look at this, beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, the word subjection don't mean you go around just taking orders from your husband just like a child. It means when there comes a rub,